Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather of Pet Honoring. Thanks so much for joining us today. Honor Your Pet is a show covering all things which honors our pets and our relationship with them. The underlying focus here is how we can best care for our pets and ourselves as pet parents. We have a great show today. Joining us is Megan Day, who is the founder of WagHab. She is a physical therapist with advanced training in canine physical rehab. And we're going to learn all about what this is and the different ways that these services can help our pets. Before we bring Megan on, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who sent in pet names and pictures for pets to be honored in the United Pet Honoring Ceremony. I hold these every second Sunday of the month, and people from all over send in pet names to be honored in a memorial service, and it's free. It's a free service to call in to listen to, and it's free to add your pet. It's just another way for us to have a moment of showing honor and reverence for our pets and all that they give us. And you can read more about that on pethonoring.com. Also, the Asheville Angel Pets Conference lectures are now on CD. This was a conference in Asheville, April of 2014, and this covered topics of how we can better care for our pets during end of life, senior care, and dealing with pet grief, which is really tough. So if you couldn't make it and want the information, the lectures are now available, and you can go to pethonoring.com also to find out more about that. So I'd love to bring Megan on. Megan, thank you for joining us today. Megan is the founder of WagHab. WAGHAB. You can find out more about her on waghab.com. Megan is a physical therapist with advanced training in canine physical rehab. So welcome, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about how you got into this and what it entails.
Okay. Yes, well, I started working as a veterinary technician in, I guess it was about 1999, and I was working with animals for quite a long time, and I became interested in canine rehabilitation. I started to search out what it was and did a little bit of research, and I found that there were a couple programs that offered a certification program in canine rehabilitation. And one of the professions that was one of the top, well, the top professions for working in the field was physical therapy. And I was wanting to try something new and do something different. And so I started to pursue physical therapy for humans. And I went through and did all the coursework for that, and always realizing that I eventually wanted to do it on pets. But I wasn't sure what the market would be for it and whether it was that realistic, and physical therapy was just a great occupation to go into. So I went and did the training for physical therapy and started working with humans, and then I very quickly started working on my courses to do the canine rehabilitation program, and I did the one through the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And I completed that and took the exam and became certified. And then I started WagHab in 2011. And over the last few years, I've started seeing more and more pets. And I've started to phase out doing the human therapy as the pets have gotten more popular. And really, in the last couple of months, I've almost phased out my human physical therapy completely. I still do have a few patients that I see, but right now my focus is on the canine physical rehabilitation.
Wonderful. And so the physical rehab for pets can help them if they are injured or have a disability?
Yes, absolutely. Basically, what we're trying to do is bring pets to a greater level of function. So wherever they might be, whether it's an injury or an illness, a condition, taking those pets and getting them better, getting them as close to normal as possible, sometimes better than normal. Occasionally, it might be a case of helping an animal to not decline, and I definitely see some of those too. But the majority of it is working with these animals that have some type of a physical ailment or physical problem and getting them back to a much greater level of function.
Wonderful. And tell us, what do you have, a good story or a good example you can share with us?
Certainly. There's quite a few different types of examples, but one of the most common things that I see might be a dog with a soft tissue injury. So I had a case of a dog that had a front leg lameness, and those can be very challenging. Oftentimes it's not something surgical. Oftentimes we'll hone in on things that are surgical, and often those will not be. And so the dog had been limping on and off for quite a few months. I think it was maybe 6 months or more. The dog would be put on medications and had to go in a crate and rest. And then when they would bring the dog back into exercise, it would start limping again. And that can be extremely frustrating for the owners, and I'm sure for the pet as well. So they brought that dog to me, and I was able to find some more kind of subtle soft tissue things that were going on around the dog's shoulder that was causing the dog to have some instability in that shoulder. And so once we were able to target exercises for that area and work on some soft tissue techniques to help with the injury that was there, and then another part that's extremely important is the slow return to exercise. So we took that dog through a very slow return of how to get the dog back to exercising. And it ended up taking probably 3 or 4 months, I believe, in this case, but we were able to get that dog back to recovery. And those steps are what helps the dog get back there. And then she could just be a normal dog running around the backyard and playing again.
Wow. It's interesting you mentioned the slow recovery, because I know, I know we as humans, myself, like if I sprain my ankle and the first day it feels better, I want to go out running, or I want to go back out,
yes.
and go full exercise with it. And, I think it's important to remember that, for ourselves as well as for our pets, that slow, process and that slow recovery and is important.
Yes, that is one of the things that I feel like I can offer for these pets, is that is one of the hardest things, because dogs, they don't know how to restrain themselves. They want to chase the ball. They want to go play with the neighbor dog. They see a squirrel and they take off through the backyard. And so the owner's responsibility is so great in keeping their dogs confined. And usually the ones that don't do well are the ones that the owners just are not able or unwilling to keep the dog in the confinement and follow the plan to return them. But most of the time, they just don't know. They think the dog is doing better and it's not limping anymore, and so they just decide to let the dog out in the yard to play, and then you start back over. And then one of the hardest parts about that is that the more the dog re-injures the area, the harder it is to bring them back to recovery or to function. So if you can get it earlier, then it's a much quicker recovery time, and their function will be better.
Yeah, and I think one of the benefits that you can offer is, a good perspective of that plan. And here's the healing plan, and here are the steps. And, we often forget what that is for us and as well as our pets. So I think that's really key for our listeners to pay attention to with injuries.
Yes, exactly. And then people like to have that step-by-step plan to follow, and that can help their dog get back. And, there's definitely, we see lots of slipping backwards, and then, of course, that's natural and that's going to happen. And, we might choose an exercise that causes the dog to limp a little bit more. So we have to grade and change the rehabilitation plan as we go.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, I think that's fabulous. And a lot of our listeners may not know that, such services are available. And so how does someone get, what's important with this? Do people need a referral? How do they get to you?
Yes, good question. I do need a referral in order to evaluate and work on an animal, but it's a pretty easy process. Generally, someone can contact me and I can get them my referral form, or they can just have their regular veterinarian just write something and sign it that they want the dog to start a rehabilitation program. Usually not much of a problem. They just need to have the vet sign that, and then they call me or email me and go to waghab.com and get that information, and then we set up an appointment and we go from there. But we just do need to have that veterinarian signature first to make sure that we go through the correct routes and any other things might be ruled out by that point by the time the dog gets to see me.
Sure. You want to make sure you're on the right track, and you always want to keep your vet, you know, involved and, you know, have them be a part of the team.
Yes, absolutely. Oftentimes there will be, you know, certain medications or things like that that, you know, I might feel that would be appropriate, but I can't prescribe anything. And so I have that communication with the veterinarian, and we can talk and figure out what's the best thing. It's, you know, having a whole team working with the animal, not just, you know, one primary person.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to learn about more about pet rehab and Megan Day with waghab.com. We'll be right back in just a minute. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. All right, welcome back. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, L.E. Merriweather, and we are chatting with Megan Day of waghab.com, and we're learning more about canine and pet rehab and what it has to offer. And so, Megan, tell us, who is the ideal candidate?
The ideal candidate is oftentimes has to do with the owner. It needs to be someone who is willing and wants to put in the time and the effort, someone who really wants their dog to be, or their pet to be, at their best possible function. And other than that, the conditions or the different problems that dogs come to me with can be, you know, extremely varied. The ideal, I guess if I had to come up with an ideal candidate, would be an animal that maybe hasn't been injured or hasn't had the problem going on for a very long time. And, you know, we catch it pretty early and the owner is invested in it, and they go the right course and they go through the program. And, you know, those are probably the quickest recovery. Now, that doesn't mean to say that if something's been going on a long time that, you know, it can't be helpful. That certainly, no matter what's going on, there's usually at least some type of relief or improvement, even if it's been going on for years. But ideally, those two things kind of go together. An owner who is ready and willing and wants to put the time into this, and then, you know, an animal that hasn't been in the condition for a very long period of time. And what I mean mostly by the owner who's willing to put in the time is that you can't really expect to be able to just have a couple of visits of rehab and then to do nothing at home for the animal. So the owner just needs to be involved with it, follow through with the recommendations I have for the things at home. And those are the ones that I really see the best improvement in.
Sure. So, yeah, that there's pet parent involvement.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and the pet parent person, you know, is a partner with the pet and helping them with this, you know, restricting the activity and maybe doing exercises and other things that you would recommend. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. The ones that can be the most frustrating and difficult are the ones that I know have this potential to do great. but the owners are not following through at home with the recommendations. You know, if I'm asking them to not let the dog jump up and down off of the bed or something like that, and you know, they haven't been able to follow through with that, and when they keep coming back, the issues are still current, they're still there, and so those can be just the most challenging ones. And so certainly if people can really stick with the program, then the results are much better.
Wonderful. Yeah, and it sounds like that, you know, when you have your consults or your appointments, that you go over this plan and you say, okay, here's the big picture, here's the, you know, what we're going to need to do, and you know, of course, you need their assistance in following that.
Yes, yeah. When the dog first comes, it's exactly right. We do the evaluation and we talk about what's realistic for the owner too. You know, I don't just spew out a whole bunch of instructions, but we talk about things and try to come up with a realistic plan for them. Sometimes I've had patients come and stay at the animal hospital of the room that I work out of, and they'll come and stay for the day so that we can manage them while they're there and do some exercises with them if the owner's having a really hard time doing it at home or keeping them confined at home. But we definitely go through all that at the beginning and come up with a plan, and everyone agrees on it. We always set goals, and so we are working towards a goal. So the goal might be that the dog will be able to go back to hiking with the owner for an hour, or the goal might be that the dog has an easier time getting up the stairs. They can be extremely varied, but we'll be working towards those goals. And I think those are important because the owner can see that there is something that we're working towards. It's not just like a never-ending thing out there that they may have a hard time grasping, but we are working towards specific things.
Sure. And when you were given those examples, what came to my mind is this is really helping with quality of life.
Yes.
Helping the pet be more active and get around and, you know, enjoying either the same activities they were before or maybe even, you know, new and better activities.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I'd say that does encompass it a lot. It is definitely geared towards quality of life. And not just for the pet, but the owner too. You know, a lot of people, they're very sad. They come to me because their dog can't hike with them anymore. They've had this thing going on with their animal. It's been limping, and they can't get the dog to stop limping. And they want to take it hiking with them. And you know, if we can get that dog back to being able to do that, you know, the dog is happier and the owner is happier. And, you know, another aspect of that is I see a lot of older dogs that are getting towards the end of their life, and there's certainly things that we can do to help with that as well, kind of with that quality of life as well.
All right. Well, tell us some about that. What can we do at home, or what are some services, you know, that are available to help us with, you know, our aging pets?
Yeah, definitely there's a lot of things that people can do at home. Usually it's good to get an evaluation and, you know, so we can figure out what exactly are the problems and things that might be happening. But just like in people, as dogs age, they start to lose function. And they, just like in people as well, they stop doing certain things because they're hard for them to do. I see a lot of older dogs that come to me that can no longer sit. And the owners are just very surprised. They didn't even realize that their dog couldn't sit anymore.
Wow.
Their legs have gotten so weak that they can't take their muscles into those positions. And so we will help retrain the dog how to sit again, and that can increase their muscles, and that can just, you know, transfer over into all areas. So there's exercises like that. I oftentimes have them just do sit to stands, and the owners can work on that at home. Have them walk in little circles so that they are getting their balance. They're not just going in a straight line. Their balance might be off a little bit, so you have them walk in circles to work on that. Some stretches for their spine. You can have them reach around to their hips to reach a treat or a cookie, and that can help stretch their spine out a little bit. have them balancing on three legs. You can pick a leg up and have them balance. And these are all great little exercises to do with the older dogs. And a lot of times people think that they shouldn't, you know, their dog is older and it's arthritic and they're having a hard time getting around. But exercise helps arthritis, and it does help as long as it's in a safe and graded manner, then it can be extremely helpful. And I see a huge improvement in these dogs when they come to see me, and we start them on a few simple exercises, and it can be amazing, the difference. And then in addition to that, there's a lot of other things just at home, in the home environment. Some dogs, lots of dogs, they start slipping on floors, and that's one of the biggest things I hear from people, is that the dogs are slipping and they're not sure what to do about that. So you can do things like maybe change where the dog's bed is, put it in a different room or on a different floor of the house. I have people get throw rugs to put down in the main areas where the dog's going to be walking. There's also things that you can put on the dog's feet. There's these little, they're almost like balloons that you can put over the dog's feet that provide traction. They're called sticky paws. That has worked well. There's also these little circular rubber things that you can put on the dog's toenails that can help as well, that can help them get traction. Keeping the toenails trimmed, keeping the fur trimmed, all of those things can really help with slipping. And then as you work on exercises as well, they'll get stronger and the slipping will be less. It'll help them learn how to get up again easier without, sometimes it's just that they're so weak, they're having a hard time keeping their legs underneath them as they're trying to get up. You can make a homemade sling out of a reusable grocery bag. You can cut the sides out of it and use it as a sling to kind of help them up if they're having a hard time, or assist them on the stairs. There's a great harness that I have had a lot of people get as their dogs are getting older and having a hard time, and it's a harness on the front and the back of them, the hooks around their pelvis, so that you can hold on to right above their pelvis and you can assist them in and out of the car and up and down the stairs. And that's been extremely helpful for a lot of patients. And then just learning some massage to do on them and learning to do some range of motion exercises and some stretching and putting some hot packs on them. There's many things to help these guys at home and in the physical rehab clinic.
Well, what I loved, when you first started talking, what I loved that you described some very simple exercises. You know, I know with myself and probably a lot of listeners out there think that, you know, rehab exercises, you know, to do at home might be really involved or too complicated. But what you described were very simple things that we can do, you know, learning to, you know, help them balance on three legs or walk in a circle. And so I really loved hearing that.
Okay, yeah, definitely. It doesn't have to be real complicated. And a lot of times you can just incorporate it right into your daily routine at their supper or their breakfast time. I tell people, you know, have your dog sit and stand 5 times or 10 times right before they eat. Have them do some circles, or while they're eating, pick up one of their legs so they have to balance on three legs. Another one I don't think I mentioned was setting up an obstacle course, that you just put it in your yard and have some sticks or logs, rocks and things for them to walk around and over, anything where they have to think about picking up their feet, something that will give them a little bit more of a challenge, and working through that as well.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I like knowing that there are, you know, simple but fun, or, you know, easily doable exercises or activities that we can do with them, you know, to help them with balance and mobility. So this is great.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about, you started to touch on massage, and then we're going to explore a little bit of what hydrotherapy is, and we'll be right back in just a minute. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather of Pet Honoring, and we are chatting with Megan Day, who is the founder of Wag Hab, and we're learning more about different canine and pet rehab modalities. And Megan, you just started to touch on massage, and I think we all know massage is really beneficial for us, but tell us how it can be beneficial and help our pets.
Yes, certainly. So massage, just like for people, can be a very extremely nice, relaxing thing for a pet. When I do general massage, that's mostly the goal is just to try to increase blood flow, help to relax the muscles, and help things to just feel better. I do that a lot on some of the older dogs that I see, and just helping things just to feel better and relax. It increases circulation, which then helps, you know, remove toxins from the body and decrease the pain that is felt in areas of the body. And that is something that I do. And other than that, I do a lot of more targeted massage or manual techniques as well, since I'm more on the physical rehabilitation side of things. And so I will hone in on specific areas that are problematic. And this might be an area that might have been injured and is in a healing state. It's in a stage of recovery. And you can get in and massage the muscle and do different techniques to that muscle to help aid the recovery. It can decrease the scar tissue formation that might be forming in there. It helps to speed the healing along. And that is a very important part of massage. Also, trigger points will form in dogs' muscles just like in people. And trigger points are basically knotted areas that are just really painful, and they can be painful without anybody even touching them. And I can do trigger point work on those and decrease a lot of a dog's pain, even pain of arthritis, by working on the trigger points that are around that arthritic joint. And that can help a lot. There was a great case of a dog that I saw fairly recently that had had a knee surgery. And the dog came to me about 8 weeks after surgery. They had not done physical rehabilitation after surgery, and it was not using its leg very well at all. And the surgeon didn't feel like there was anything wrong with the surgical site, that there was no infection and the surgery was solid and everything was fine. But I found some muscular trigger points in the dog that were extremely painful in its thigh muscles. And I was able to release those for the dog. And within a couple sessions, she was using her leg and was able to just go on and go back to pretty normal recovery. And that was just muscle. That was just massage techniques and working those painful areas out. So that's a huge help for these dogs as well. And then,
sure,
you know, just basic easing of tension. I see a lot of dogs with some back pain, and so just the relaxation of the muscles can help ease those dogs and their pain.
Sure. And let's talk a little bit about preventative. Now, I have a black lab mix who's 90 pounds. She's 8 years old. And I have just started to notice that, you know, she's slowing down a little bit. And so, like, what would be some things that, you know, she would benefit from?
Yeah, well, certainly. So definitely when I train people to do massage on their own dogs, I have them work down their backs and down their spines and just do little circles around those areas. You can feel for different areas of tension. If you get your hands on your dog and you start massaging them, then you will notice if something feels different or if the dog starts reacting. And you can work down on their legs and just feel all those muscles there. And a lot of times I have people end up coming to me because they've been putting their hands on their dogs, and then they find something that they feel is not right. And so I think that that's important, is to be able to do that. And if you can help them with their muscles and help them to relax, then, you know, they're going to be less likely to get injured, and they'll be less likely to have as much pain associated with arthritis. A large dog, like a 90-pound dog at 8 years old, is probably starting to have some arthritis, and that might be part of the kind of slowing down. And so even though the arthritis itself is an issue that you can't really change, you can make a huge difference in them by doing the massage and increasing the blood flow in the area, and they can really do well. It can decrease the use of medications. I've seen that a lot. People come and, you know, they don't want to give their dog the anti-inflammatory and the pain meds, and oftentimes they may not need them. You can work through it with the manual work and with the soft tissue, and then the other modalities that we have as well can help decrease the use of medications too.
Sure. Yeah, I know, you know, my goal with her is, you know, have her as active and happy and mobile as possible for as long as possible, you know, and I know a lot of our listeners out there, you know, want the same, because, you know, we want them, you know, happy and healthy and around as long as we can. And knowing about different ways, you know, to help them with that. And I'm really interested, you know, maybe when you think about massage, you think about deep tissue, and it's a lot of effort and a lot of work, but what you were describing were little circles. And it doesn't sound as, you know, heavy. So, you know, is it something that's easily done?
Yes, it doesn't have to be real deep tissue. Now, I certainly do that, and when the dogs come to me, depending on what's going on with them and how well they tolerate it, I will do some deeper stuff and deeper tissue. But what I usually have the owners do is more of a gentle relaxation, unless we're targeting a specific injury site, and I might have them go in a little bit deeper. But generally, it's not. It's a very comfortable thing for the dog. It's not that hard for the person to do, for the owner to do. Just around the muscles of the spine is a huge good area. Just running the hands just firmly down the thighs and working around the shoulder blades, and you don't have to get in there real deep. Any amount of that is going to help increase circulation, increase blood flow, and just going to help ease the muscular tension. And you're right, if you can help them be more comfortable, then they're going to be more willing to want to go on longer walks and play more, and then that's, you know, that's a great thing to help them continue to have an active lifestyle, and then they will not hopefully get themselves to a point where they need as much help later. And then weight is another thing. Keeping their weight down is a huge thing.
So that's
as well.
A big one. Yeah, mm-hmm. We all love to give our pets treats, and that's, you know,
yes,
that's not always the best thing to do, because they can put extra pressure on their joints and make it harder, you know, for that mobility. And so you hit on something that's very important, is not only exercise, you know, a part of that, but proper diet.
Yes, yeah, and we do offer a fairly comprehensive weight loss program as well for people that are having a hard time with that with their dogs. And sometimes it's the dog has a really hard time exercising because it has pain, and or the owner can't exercise the dog because they have physical problems. And so, you know, it's really hard for them to feed the dog little enough for it to lose weight. And so we do offer some programs where, you know, the dog can come in and we can exercise them in the water environment where they are able to get some calories burned but not stress their joints so much. And then we also do food counseling, and as far as, like, counting calories and figure out how much to feed the dog, and if you're going to give them treats, how you need to decrease their food. And you know, we go through the whole thing with them and have the dog come in, and we weigh them every week and work towards a goal. Again, we're working towards a weight loss goal.
Sure. Yeah, that's the other benefit to, you know, having your services is that big picture and that big plan. You know, it's all part of it. So I think that's fabulous. All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Megan Day of WagHab.com. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. All right, welcome back. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather, and we are chatting with Megan Day of WagHab.com. And we're learning a wealth of information about different ways that we can help our pets, either with an injury or senior care, helping manage arthritis, and getting our pets a better quality of life. And you started to touch on, Megan, the water therapy and the hydrotherapy. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. The hydrotherapy is a wonderful modality to have. There are certain things that you just can't really accomplish on land or, you know, dry therapy. And when I say hydrotherapy right now, I'm referencing the underwater treadmill, and that's what I have access to and what I use. And so because of the buoyancy of the water, you can get an animal into the treadmill, and you can fill up the water level to a height where you are decreasing the load through the joints. So one of the things we use it for, what I was just talking about with some of the dogs with arthritis and maybe they're overweight, is that you can get these dogs in there and you can get them exercising in a water environment, and they can burn calories and they can get their heart rate up and they can get some exercise without stressing their joints. And that can be huge. And then that can transfer over into them being able to do more outside of the tank as well. They will get some more strength, and they can maybe walk further and be able to go with less pain, and that can be huge. And another part of the whole buoyancy part of it, and this is one of the neatest things that I get to do, is we can retrain dogs how to walk in the underwater treadmill environment. There's a condition in dogs called degenerative disc disease. And
a lot of them have that, yeah.
Yes, and with some of those, usually it's the smaller dogs, but not always, their back will completely go out on them. And they will usually have surgery for that, but they will be paralyzed from their mid-back down. And if they have a chance of recovering that function, and about 50% of them do if they catch it early enough, they cannot walk on land, but you can get into the underwater treadmill and you can get that buoyancy going on, and the dogs will walk in the water. And it is such a neat thing that, you know, the dogs get a big boost from it. The owners are usually crying.
Yeah.
they get to see their dog walking. And you can start that really soon. And when it's basically a spinal cord injury is what's happened to these dogs. And the sooner you can get them in a walking pattern, the better their recovery is for them. And if you don't have them in that water environment, they can't walk. They're not able to do it. And so their long-term outcome is not going to be quite as good. Now, not all of them can get back to walking on land, but I've had quite a few that have been able to. And so you take that water level and you start to decrease it. And until eventually they're walking in less and less water, and then they start walking on land. And that's one of the best things about the water treadmill, is being able to take a dog through that program and do that. And then another part about the water is the resistance through the water. So you can get a dog in there, and so as they move their limbs through the water, the water is providing resistance. And so that's a strength training thing. And also, when a dog walks, their knees, their thighs, usually should be pointing fairly straight ahead. You know, some dogs are a little more bow-legged than others. Oftentimes, after a knee surgery on a dog, I see a lot of knee surgery, post-knee surgeries. After they've had that, a lot of times their leg wants to bow out. They've got some weakness. They're trying to compensate for some pain and discomfort. So their leg will bow out. When you put them in the water, if you try to take a broad limb, side of a limb through the water, that's a lot harder than if you take the most narrow part of the limb and have it kind of slice directly through the water. And so a lot of times you can put them in the water and they will more naturally want to bring their knee or their thigh back to where it's supposed to be, because it's easier to get it through the water that way. So it's a useful tool to help retrain them how to use that leg correctly. And you can just work on different gait in dogs. You can try to help them, you know, decrease maybe a hip shift that they're having, and you know, there's all sorts of things you can do in water, but it's a really great thing to have access to.
Sure. It sounds like it really helps with flexibility and, you know, strengthening back up those muscles around the joint to give more functionality.
Yes, you can get a dog in there fairly soon after an orthopedic surgery, basically as soon as the stitches come out, and they're not really allowed to do anything yet on land because of the forces that would be going through the joint. But you can get them in the water and have them, you can set it to go really slowly, and they can just kind of move their legs through it and have very little weight going through. So it's a nice thing to have.
Sure. And your services also, you have wellness consults, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And basically that can be for, you know, anything from, you know, maybe someone just feels like their dog is just not in the tip-top shape, or they're slowing down. I would consider that a wellness consult. They feel like the dog is not as active as it used to be, and we can, you know, kind of troubleshoot through that, see if there's something maybe physically going on that might be causing that. But also the athletic dogs, setting up an exercise program for them, that's also would be considered like a wellness type consult, where there's no injury, there's nothing specifically going on, but they want the dog to be stronger, a better competitor. And most people with their performance dogs are very sport specific. I'm talking about like agility, fly ball, herding, and things like that. And sport specific meaning they only train in the sport. The dogs aren't getting much cross training in other areas, and that can be an area that is much needed for these dogs, and they can become better competitors and less likely to injure themselves and be faster if we can incorporate more of a full body program for them, which that would include not just strength, but endurance training and balance, which is like proprioception training as well. Because most of these sports are just very, very specific for one thing, and then the dogs are lacking other areas.
Right, sure. Other muscle developments, you know, or like you said, endurance. And so the wellness consults and the wellness visits, do you need a referral for that?
As long as we're not treating or looking for injury, you do not need a referral for that. Yep. That's more like coming to a doggy gym or having a personal trainer for your dog.
Sure. And and those visits are to help with performance dogs or, you know, an everyday at-home dog who's pretty active but is starting to age a little bit or slow down a little bit. And, you know, it doesn't have to be this rigorous you know, program or, you know, go through endurance training, you know, it can be something that can just benefit the everyday dog as well.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I see as far as wellness patients, a lot of older dogs that are really just kind of coming for, you know, a few of those exercises that we talked about, and then just, you know, basic feel good massage, basic relaxation massage, and doing that. And I'm glad you touched on that with the, it's not just hardcore exercise. There's much, much more to it than that. I think one of the misconceptions out there is that if you take your dog or even yourself to physical rehab, that you're just gonna hurt. You're gonna have to exercise, and it's, you know, maybe not necessarily the thing you want to do right now, but there's so many other aspects to it, and we only exercise when it's appropriate to exercise.
Sure. And I know we've been talking a lot about dogs. Do you help cats? Do you help other pets?
Yes, I definitely have seen a number of cats, and I haven't seen anything other than that yet, but I did do a phone consultation for a rabbit once. So, yeah, cats for sure. They're certainly not as easy as dogs. They come with their own challenges, but I have seen a few of those, and you just have to get creative with different things that you do for cats. I've had some great cat patients, actually. They've been a lot of fun. Actually treated a cat for a vestibular problem, a dizzy problem, and I treat that in dogs as well. So I'll put that out there too, that the the dizziness and the vestibular issues, there's a great treatment for that.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and when we get back, we will continue on learning about treating dizziness with rehab. We'll be right back. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. All right, welcome back. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, L. Lee Merriweather, and we are chatting with Megan Day of WagHab.com. And we're learning all about the different modalities and ways we can help our pets with mobility and quality of life. And Megan, you just started to touch on treating dizziness. You know, that's intriguing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting thing, and I recently had an influx of these patients, which is great because it's starting to become more known that I can treat this. So it's usually when dogs get older and they have these vestibular episodes, and they'll be fine one day, and then they'll wake up and they can't stand up, and their head's tilted to the side, and their eyes are going all crazy, just spinning back and forth and back and forth. It's called nystagmus. And they'll go to the vet, and they rule out, you know, stroke or anything else like that that might be going on, make sure it's not, you know, you can usually tell some differences, whether it's something going on in the brain versus more of an inner ear problem. And then once those are ruled out, if I get to see those dogs, there's a treatment that I do, and it's actually very similar to a treatment that you do in people to treat a vertigo issue in people, where you turn the head and move it in certain ways.
Sure.
And so I take these dogs, and I do this maneuver on the dogs, and they don't really like it very much because you have to hold their heads and have them flipped over on their backs, and you're triggering all this dizziness. But they can do really well with it, and otherwise they just sort of have to either live with it, or over a few weeks they might gradually improve. But when I do this treatment, I can oftentimes see a very quick response. I had a great case about 2 weeks ago who came, and they brought the dog in, and the dog couldn't walk, couldn't get up. It had just started with the vertigo about 24 hours earlier. And I did the treatment on the dog, and the dog got up and walked out. It was great. That was one of the best as far as very rapid changes that I see. Oftentimes it's more like 24 to 48 hours. But we'll repeat the treatment usually about two times, and because there's usually a little bit of residual left over. And then if they are still having some issues, some balance, usually they'll be a little unbalanced after that. If their vestibular system has been sick, it's been compromised. And so then we'll start balance therapy, and we will do, we'll have them do some of the similar things that I mentioned with the older dogs, but we'll have them walking in circles and stepping over things, and I'll have them balancing on air cushions and things like that. And that usually will help them regain as much function as possible. Sometimes 100%, sometimes it's 90% or 80%, but we'll get them much closer to being better. But that's a neat thing that most people wouldn't think of for your typical physical rehabilitation.
Yeah, and I know anyone who has had that, you know, themselves know how miserable it is and how effective those head movement treatments are. And I know I just never would have thought that you could, you know, that dogs could get it and that it could be, you know, fixed just the same. So that's really wonderful to know about.
Yeah.
That's something to keep in mind, yeah, for yourselves and for people out there that, you know, may have friends or family members with a pet, because, you know, it's a miserable condition. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what's the most important? What do you want our listeners to know? What's the most important thing here? What do you want people most to know about pet rehab?
Basically, I want them to know that it's not just exercise. There's a lot of misconception out there that it encompasses so much more. And that's probably the main thing. It's just, it's a multimodal approach to full physical well-being and health. It takes many different aspects. And it is, you know, it's not just my dog had surgery and I want him, you know, to use their leg again. It is that as well. But just to know that it encompasses so much more than that. If you think about, you know, what a physical therapist might treat on a human, you know, I can treat that on a pet. And, you know, that is probably the main thing. And also, don't wait. A lot of people, your dog is limping and you think, you know, I'm just going to wait this out for a while. Or, you know, something else might be going on. But don't wait. Get them started early. The earlier we start, the better. We can cut our rehab time in half if you can get them started sooner rather than later. It's not the end of the world. It's not like, you know, we can't get them better, you know. I mean, can't 100% all the time get them better. But, you know, definitely the earlier, the better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love, you know, as a pet parent, I love knowing that there are simple things I can do at home, whether that's, you know, putting down rugs or moving a bed or doing, you know, coming to you and learning some very simple exercises I can do, you know, to help my dog or pet at home. So I love knowing that it doesn't have to be, you know, complicated, but, you know, it's good to know to start early and to keep it in mind and, you know, watch your pet and adjust, you know, as your pet does age. And that there are a lot of things out there that we can do. And where can they find out more information about you and contact you?
The best place is my website, waghab.com, waghab.com. There's a lot of information on there. You can sign up for a newsletter on the website. You can find my Facebook page through there. I put blog postings up as well. But if you want to follow me on Facebook, I put a lot of my cases and different interesting things on that. But you can, my phone number's there and email, and you can do it all through the website.
Yeah, it's nice to read about success stories or different ways that these services, you know, can help. So I love it that you're out there and, you know, helping our pets. And thank you so much for joining us and telling us more about how we can help our pets. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Please visit pethonoring.com or email me at pethonoring.com. We'll be right back.